that might give us strength to look to you through these times. We just pray your blessing on the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to talk about something this morning that God created. And it's the only thing that I can think of that he gives a ring every birthday. Can anybody tell me what that is? Tree. And it was interesting as I did some studying on trees, that statistically they've done studies and post-op patients that have a view of trees spend less time in recovery than those that don't. It's also, if there is landscaping and trees around a place, it increases the value by a good percentage. It decreases the temperatures in the summertime, trees do, and makes it a little bit warmer in the wintertime. And I'm aware, I've heard some people talking and watching online, and that this view here, and I probably don't help it that much, but behind me is not that good. It's a pretty bland view up here. And if I'd have had time yesterday, I'd have went and bought a couple trees and set them up here, but that didn't happen. Didn't have time. But as we look at trees and how trees, how God uses trees and what he says about trees through the Bible, it was a blessing to me. And somebody gave me a phrase on Saturday. I was out at the shop, and a title of a song, and I'm not that impressed with the song, but the title kept going through my mind. It's all about him. How does that relate to trees? It's all about him. So, looking at some different trees, what the tallest tree is said to have been in Victoria, Australia. They claimed it was 500 feet tall. It was felled in 1872, but there's no solid proof of that, official record of it. Their claims that the tallest ever title should go to a Douglas fir felled in British Columbia in 1940 and said to have measured 417 feet tall. The tallest non-sequoia alive today is the Douglas at Lake Park Trail, Washington. It's 310 feet tall. That's tall. You know, we see a silo that's less than 100 feet tall, and that looks pretty tall, but 300 and some feet tall. Now there's and there's also big trees. There's a Montezuma cypress in Mexico that has a girth of 112 to 113 feet at a height of about 5 feet off the ground. So those of you that your dad has 100-foot tape, 100 feet's a long tape, but it wouldn't make it all the way around that tree 5 feet off the ground. You'd have 12 feet space. You'd have from me to Caleb between you yet. There's also a big tree. How many of you have been to see the tree called Old General Sherman? That's a big tree. And that tree weighs an estimated, I took a middle of the road, there's different, they can't actually weigh the tree, of course, but different middle of the road estimate would be somewhere around 1,600 tons. So I asked David Peachy how many tons you could put on a semi-trailer legally, and he said somewhere around 25,000. So if you took that tree and loaded on legal semis, you'd have semis stretched from Matt and Sarah's house down here, bumper to bumper, if you spaced them out, they'd start at the church here probably, but bumper to bumper from Matt and Sarah's house all the way to the highway to get that one tree on legally loaded. If that gives you an idea how big that tree is, it stands 275 feet tall, and it's 36 feet in diameter, so if it would be laid over and the base of the tree would be over against that wall, I think those walls are 18 feet if I remember right, so it would be two times that high at the base of the trunk. And at 60 feet up the trunk, it's still 17 and a half feet in diameter, so as it goes out this wall, it would still be from the floor to the ceiling. And it would reach 275 feet. I was going to step it off, but I didn't get it done. I am guessing we would probably be over in Paul Hedder, the Hedderby's field over there, the top of it, if it started from that wall. How old is that tree? It's estimated that it's 2,300 to 2,700 years old. So that takes us back before the Christ was born, 300 to 700 years. It's an old tree. That tree has seen a lot of things happen in its time. Then you think of the common trees that we have around here, the oak trees. And you know, for many years I took oak trees kind of for granted. That's just what there is. But it's interesting to me as I thought back, and just recently again we had company here from Idaho, David Beilers, who grew up here, and they were commenting in at these oak trees, these beautiful oak trees. And people that have been here and go away and come back, it's just something about these oak trees. And we take them for, I take them so much for granted. An acre of trees provide enough oxygen for 18 people. And they absorb as much oxygen, they absorb as much carbon dioxide as a car produces in driving 26,000 miles. So trees, would we be here without trees? No, not unless God would have provided another way for us to get oxygen and to live. Trees give life. Trees are very important. Trees clean the air. They provide shade. Trees provide homes and shelter for birds and animals. If you took all the trees, everything that's, this comes from a tree, I'm standing on things that came from a tree. Most of your houses where you live, there's a lot of things in there that are directly from trees or made from products of trees. They provide food and shelter for people, for animals. So it's important to take care of and to plant trees. As I was thinking about trees, a lot of you get trees from, I think it's Arbor Day or whatever it is, from school. And we have quite a few trees in our yard, and it's interesting, we talk about the trees, and one of the children will say, yeah, I brought that tree home. And we have one nice pine tree in the yard that giving us nice pine cones now that come back from Heather's school days. We have red buds. We have a couple others that I don't know what they are. They have little flowers on them. But too often, I think, we'd like to see something now. It's hard to invest and to take time to put things in to plant trees because they're little, they take time, they easily get mowed over, unless you get by big trees. But I had to think over here at the church. I can clearly remember when we put the church in, that was just a field over there. And I remember Floyd Raymer getting to church, and he was always there early, as I remember. But I'd see him with those 2 5-gallon buckets, and his one shoulder down a little bit, and he'd go run into the trees, and he'd be pouring the water on to keep those. And look what we have over there now. I wish they'd be hard maples now, but I think the thought was that they would give us shade quick and grow fast, and they did that. And now our children enjoy playing under the trees. Stories told of a man that was out planting a slow-growing tree, a tree that took years before there was any fruit from it. And somebody asked him, he was an older man, he said, "Why are you planting that tree?" And he pointed over the hill. And he said, "My grandpa planted that tree." You know, vision for the future. Are you planting trees that will give shade and faith, fruit for the coming generations in the spiritual sense? Are we? I think we can take a spiritual view of that also. Are we doing things that are giving, that are going to bring fruit in the future generations? Or are we only looking out for ourselves? I listened to a book recently, and I would recommend this book by Matthew Sleeth, MD. He's titled Reforesting Faith, and it blessed me as I listened to him speak and his study and interest in trees. And I think we all like trees, some more than others. But as I listened to this man talk and his journey, about his journey in life, don't believe he grew up in a Christian home, but he always loved trees, and he was a carpenter growing up. He struggled with dyslexia, and after he got married, he went to school to be a doctor, an MD. And one night, when things in his life were, he had a nice family, things were going well for him, but had a bunch of bumps in the road. And he started searching and thinking, there's more to life than this. And there was nothing going on, so he went out to the waiting room and he saw a Gideon Bible laying there on the table, and he took it home. And he read that Bible. And that's where he came to find God, and his family did. And you know, if we go from the beginning of the Bible to the end, in Genesis, the first couple chapters, there's a lot about trees. The first psalm we read about trees. And the book of Revelation, it talks about the tree. And I'd like to start with reading Psalm chapter 1. You're welcome to turn with me if you want to, or you can just listen. And look what the psalmist says about the tree. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." So he says, the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. But he that doesn't shall perish." If you want to turn back with me to Genesis chapter 1 now, I'd like to pull some out of those first couple chapters. We'll start out with verse 10, Genesis 1 verse 10. "And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. So there God talks about the trees. Trees, vines, anything that has seed. He says it was good. He was creating a habitat for mankind, for the animals. Then go on to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given you every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So here again, he's talking about the things that he's created. And he's talks about how good they are. In chapter 2, verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree all of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out from Eden to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became into four heads. There he talks about the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. I believe we can say that God loves trees. There's so much significance in them. He put so much into them. He created them. And he did this on the third day of creation. And we think of how much effort, how much God put into creating a place for man to live. And that includes the trees and the vines. That includes the fruit. That includes all the many other blessings that we get from them. And that was what God was doing the first 5 days of creation, putting together our unique habitat. And when God had completed the Garden of Eden and placed Adam and Eve there, you know, the trees had a significant role to play. God gave Adam and Eve an important job, and that was to take care of the garden, to be gardeners. And they were allowed to eat the fruit of the tree, all except for one tree, and that was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you know, when they disobeyed, when they ate that fruit, our future, their future and ours was changed forever. There in Genesis 2:9, it says that trees are pleasant to the sight, good for food. Trees have their job, and that's keeping humans alive, providing food and shelter. Scripture also portrays trees and as things that communicate. Did you ever think about that? That trees communicate? And if you look at Isaiah 55:12, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Figurative speech, maybe. 1 Chronicles 16:33 says, then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. In Judges 9, you find the trees arguing there about who is going to be king. Well, I don't know how much stock to put in this, but scientists, tree scientists in the past several decades, claim that trees really do communicate. And when one is taken away, the ones next to them hurt. When one is struggling with a disease or something, some way the others give to it. So I don't know if that's true or not, but it's an interesting thought. But the Apostle Paul says that if you've taken a walk in the woods, if you have observed nature, the beauty of God's creation, that you are without excuse. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." It's also said that those that are in connection with, that are around trees, have less health problems. Heartbeats are, the heart rates are better, the blood pressure is better. I don't know. There's something about just walking through nature that does something to us, I think, as a calming effect when we think of who we are and how great God is. And what a little seed it takes to make this big tree. It's just amazing to think of a little acorn and look beside it and see that tree. One day that tree was that little acorn. But there were two trees at the center of the Garden of Eden. The one, the tree of life, representing humanity's connection to the divine and eternal. The other, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, representing human agency and the possibility of rebellion. You know, when Adam and Eve ate from the wrong tree, they tried to hide their crime by undressing the very trees that they had been charged to keep and to dress. And the next thing they did was to hide behind them. And in the third chapter of Genesis, we find them being banished from the garden. They were moved away from the tree of life. The Bible is a story of God meeting humanity's need for a Savior to reunite us to the tree of life. The Bible refers to many trees many times. There's almost every Bible character that is, if you look, is connected to a tree. There's a tree in connection with him. And Joseph is one of those characters, one exception, but there's a verse that mentions that Joseph being a tree. So it's still there. In Exodus 15:25, we have a tree used to make the waters of Moriah drinkable. In 1 Samuel 17:43, we have David listening for the noise going through the mulberry trees to move forward into battle. Isaiah 61. I'd like to read a few verses there. Very familiar verses. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness." And in the other, in several other versions, it talks about oaks of righteousness. "That they might be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Jacob most likely spent the night in an almond grove there in Luz, the area that he renamed Bethel. But Luz, if you look that up, means almond tree. And there's where he had the dream of that wooden ladder that spans the gulf between heaven and earth. That ladder that there were angels ascending and descending on. Isaiah predicted that God's people would fail to notice the tender shoot he had planted for their salvation. In the first chapter of John, we find Jesus calling his disciples. And there he told Nathanael that when Nathanael questioned something, he said, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called him." And Nathanael said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God." Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Was Jesus telling Nathanael that he would see the ladder Jacob dreamed of long ago? A rescue plan involving trees that had been unfolding in time. Whether or not Nathanael recognized it, I don't know. But Jesus alluded to trees a lot. He talked about bearing fruit. You know, we can tell a lot by the health of a tree just by looking at the bark, looking at the leaves. But the fruit tells the real story. John 15, 1 through 10 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." It's all about him. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. It's just a beautiful passage of a comparison of a tree bearing fruit. It's also a very sobering passage. It makes it very clear what's going to happen to the branches that die. You know, the branches, if my understanding is, a branch that can't get light dies. And that's why you find the branches going up. The branches going out, and when there's another tree beside it, they go away. They're trying to get to light so that they can live. And you know, we have to have that light. We have to be connected to the vine if we want to live. Otherwise, we're going to die spiritually. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." A dead branch is cast into the fire. You know, bearing fruit is not optional for the believer. Not bearing fruit will cause severance. If we refuse to repent, the dead branches will be cast into the fire, into judgment. But I love those last words there. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." You know, Jesus, the carpenter's son, you know, he had enemies that sought to kill him. They wanted to kill him from the day he was born. They tried to kill him as a baby. They tried to stone him, and he just disappeared. They tried to throw him off of a cliff. Excuse me. He went 40 days without food. You know, he could walk on water. But it was hanging on a tree that he gave his life. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." The cross is really a tree of life, sawed down by man's sin. Yet Jesus' blood caused a dead tree, used as a Roman torture instrument, to grow into the symbol of life everlasting. A symbol of the tree of life. Jesus is the tree of life. You know, in the Old Testament, it was the blood applied to the doorposts and to the header, to those three pieces of wood that made so the death angel passed over them. Jesus opened the way with two pieces of wood, a vertical and a horizontal one. And with his blood applied to those two crossed pieces of wood, the doorway to heaven opens, and that is the only way. There is no other way. There is no other path. There is no other way to unlock that access. When Mary met Jesus, her Lord and Master, her eyes blurred from crying her heart out. She looked up. She saw Jesus. She didn't mistake him for a soldier, a merchant, but she mistook him for a gardener. Was she mistaken? You know, he is the new Adam, taking over what the first Adam failed at, dressing and keeping the garden. If you want to turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. I'd like to read a few verses here. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and of either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city. And Jesus gives living water to those that ask him. He is a source of spiritual life. You know, the trees along the river are called the tree of life. The tree of life grew in the Garden of Eden. Adam ate its fruit until the time that sin entered into the world and that man died spiritually. You know, after they sinned, they were not allowed to eat of that tree, the tree of life, because it gave perpetual spiritual life to all who ate its fruit. Eternity will see that tree of life restored and forever accessible to the saints, to those that have been connected to the vine, to those that are bearing fruit in this life. And I believe we can clearly see by Scripture that it will be easily accessible. It will be found throughout the city, down the middle of its streets and on both sides of its river. And the saints may eat freely of its fruit. Revelation 2:7 says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The tree of life in Eden points to the cross, the only way that we can attain spiritual life, the remedy for sin, the healing of the nations. 1 Peter 2:24. The healing of the nations is found in Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Here's a quote from The Mystery of Christ. The tree of life in paradise is a touching reminder of the great sacrifice of Christ in purchasing his bride, and the abundance and variety of its fruit speaks of the marvelous and bountiful blessings he will give to those who have overcome the world. Let's stand together for prayer.